This is the fourth paragraph, the second book of Sefer Mishlei. I finished the last paragraph last time. So it's sort of like more of a real division into chapters, and I think that the secular chapters mean. And it continues for basically two prakim till Chaf Aleph Lamed. And again, I'm just kind of learning this as I go along. So I'm not looking at a big picture. I'm just trying to put this together. So I appreciate you all learning with me as I try to figure this out.
Danny, what does Lama stand for? 30?
30, yes.
Okay.
So we are right now in Perek Yud Tet 19, Pasuk Yud, 19:10. We're going to go to 21:30 for this particular paragraph of this. So look at the way Allah Torah puts it. Lo nave lechasila ta'anuk, that luxury, he calls it delicate living, ta'anuk, is not appropriate for the fool. Af kila eved mishol b'sarim, any more than having a slave rule over princes. Sechel adam harichapo, the wise thing for a person is to be patient. B'tifratoh avor ha'pesha, and glory for it would be, it's glorious for a person to pass over slights, overlook an offense. As you can see here, Naham Kefir Zah Melech, the anger of a king, like the roaring of a lion. Uketal Al Esev Ritzono, the king's will, the king's favor is like dew on the grass. Avot Laviv Ben Kisil, a foolish son is the disaster for his father. V'delef tored mid yenei isha, that a the King James translates as a quarrelsome woman, and I like that translation. Quarrels of a woman are like an incessant dripping. Bayit v'hon nachlat avot, house, wealth are inherited from parents. U'me'ashem isa maskalat, and a wise woman, a sensible woman, is a gift from God. Obviously, Mishle likes his Isha metaphors. Someone certainly had a lot of wives and had experienced both the quarrelsome ones and the sensible ones. And this idea, the Isha Midanim, Isha Midanim, this quarrelsome woman, comes up a lot. This is the first time here, but we'll see it in Perek Aleph, right before the end of this chapter. Tov shevet be'eretz midbar, better to live in the wilderness, me'eshet medanim achas, than having a woman of quarrels and of anger. Or Perek Pei, tov shevet al pinat gag, better to be stuck living on the corner of your roof, me'eshet medanim bayit chaver, than in a whole house with a quarrelsome woman. Or Perachav Zion. Delef tare biyam sagrir, the dripping, continuous dripping on a damp day. Beishit medanim nishtaver. It's the same as having a quarrelsome wife. Tzafaneh ruach, catching her is like catching the wind. B'shemen yemini yikra, or it's like trying to hold oil in your hand. All very negative. Obviously, that's meant as metaphors, because why would he be complaining about women in general? So, what's the metaphor here for an eshet midanim, quarrelsome woman, arguing all the time, fighting women? And the Malbim has already said this early in this book, when the Mishnah talks about the eshet chen, the beautiful woman. It says it's an isha tova, memaseget chen aydei maaseh tovim. The chen in this case is someone who enjoys favor in the eyes of others because of her good deeds. That's a good thing.
So what?
Who enjoys favor, it's a good thing. It's not so much, it's not physical beauty, sheker achen, he says later, but it's because of the maasim tovim. Oh, the fiam, but according to the metaphor here is a nefesh yikara. It's talking about the person's nefesh, the person's self, what you are and how you present to the world. the sum total of who you are. That's what the isha here is the metaphor for. And this nefesh yikara, precious tova v'chachma, good wise, she isha militzit militzit b'sefer hazeh. That's what the image of a woman is in this particular part of the sefer, this book. It's the self and the way you present yourself to others. Similarly, this is the Malbim, says Yisha Yafa, the Saratam, that it, when Mishlei talks about a beautiful woman who has no sense, is like a gold earring in the ear of a pig. Ubinimshal, and the meta fee here, is Misha Tziratoya Yafeve, and I've shown Mukhuna Alam, is someone who may be good looking, who may actually intend, who understands what the right things to do, who tends toward the sensible. Omar meaning the maskil of he's a someone who's understanding, is a person with bina and secha, with sense and understanding. Lamida tavrot, but with bad personality characteristics, bad to people. Lailot na nishchatot, and does actions that are destructive. Then hatara, then all the Torah and all the science that he knows, meginim oto, are actually insult. Chazir halovesh nezem zahav, a pig with a gold earring. Being smart, knowing all this stuff is no good if you're not going to act that way. Mishkatu, the Gemara Yoma says, Abba Misha Kore v'shone, someone who sits and he learns, chachamim, and hangs out with the chachamim, the ein ma'asa, ma'atam be'emunah, but isn't honest in business. Ein diburo benachan and bre'ot, and doesn't talk nicely to people. Knows his Torah, but isn't a good person. Ma bre'ot omrot alav, what do people say about him? Oy lo l'pnei shlom haTorah, oy, and the person, how terrible it is to learn Torah. Oy lo aviv shlom haTorah, terrible for his parents who taught him the Torah. Oy lo rabo shlom haTorah, terrible for his teachers who taught him Torah. That's that contradiction there. Again, the metaphy, the thing that the metaphor of Isha is for is the human nefesh, because it's self, how it interacts with others. So the Isha Midanim, this quarrelsome woman, is when you're being inconsistent, when the self conflicts with the knowledge of, you know what the right thing is, you've learned all this Mussar, learned all this ethics, but aren't doing it. And there are two reasons why that happens. One is akrasia, which we remember we did that, we had that word recently in the Chumashir, if he remembers it. It's the Greek word for a lack of self-control, a lack of willpower. Then you know the right thing to do, but you just can't do it. You know you shouldn't have that third donut, but it's right there. And this is a quote from Thomas Schelling, who invented game theory, as a way to understand behavior. People behave sometimes as if they had two selves, one who wants clean lungs and long life, another who adores tobacco, one who wants a lean body, another wants dessert. One who yearns to improve himself by reading The Public Interest, which was the magazine that this was published in, another would rather watch another movie on television. The two are continual contest for control. That's the equation. That's the person who knows the right thing but isn't doing it because they just can't stop. They're not thinking about it. And we've defined that. And in Mishlei, there are a lot of words for the fool. The word for a fool in Mishlei for that kind of person is the avil. But that's not the word here. Here we start out with the, look over here. Sorry. It is a kseil. Lo navel a kseil tanuk. Kseil is a different kind of fool. That term first comes up in Perek Aleph. What's a kseil as a fool? And this is Mishle Aleph. This is the lecture when wisdom is speaking to the people. Adma type the im tabu peti. How long are you naive people going to love naivete? V'leitzim latzon kamduleham, and you cynics love your cynicism. Uksilim yisnu dat. How long will these kseil, the fool, will hate knowledge? Kimashavat petim targem. That's the piece when the petty, when the naive, when the simpleton settles down, it'll kill them. Shabak Silim Tabdim, and the peace of the Ksil will cause them to be lost. So that's this Ksil. Ksil wants Dat and hates Mushava, and want, rather, hates Dat, hates knowledge, and wants to settle down and live in peace. Settle down in peace. But settling down in peace is not a good thing. Your job is not to be static. And this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, talking about the word Vayeshev. When it talks about people of Vayeshev, they settle down, it's never a good thing. In Tanakh,
Yeah,
it's.
I also wanted to.
Ah, we're gonna, exactly. We're going to quote that. That's right over here in Source 11. Very good. Exactly. This is a Yochanan, Koma Kamshan Nemar Vayeshev, Enu El Lashon Tsar. Whenever it says Vayeshev, they settled, it ends up being bad, it ends up being painful. It says, "Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim." Yisrael settled in Shittim, and then we have the story of Benot Moab. Or Vayeshev Yaakov eres Megrei Aviv, right? Yaakov was Vayeshev, right? He wants to settle. Exactly. And then we end up with Vayeshev Yosef at Dibatam, the whole story of Yosef there. And it says, "Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim." B'nai Yisrael, when they come down to Egypt, the end of Reshit, it's Vayeshev. And then we have the story of the slavery in Egypt. As a result of that, they are going to settle. Or in Sefer Melachim, Vayeshev Yehuda v'Yisrael Betach, that under Shlomo, B'nai Yisrael were Vayeshev. They were living in apparent peace. Betach, Ishtach, Gifnov, Tachateinov, everyone under there. Fine under their fig tree, which sounds wonderful, but immediately, Vayakam Hashem Satan l'Shlomo, that Hashem brought an adversary of Shlomo, that was Yerovam, who would end up splitting the kingdom. Vayeshev ends, that Vayeshev, that we're going to be static, we're done. That ends up with disaster. And Rashi says, Janet, what you just said, Vayeshev is Bikesh Yaakov l'Shev b'Shalva. Yaakov wanted to sit in peace, right? That's the Shalvat Ksilim, the peace of the fool. Yosef, so now he had the trouble of Yosef. Tzadik wants to settle in peace. Amar Karsh Baruch Hu, lo dayan le tzadikim, ma'ashim Hashem says, not enough what you've got ahead of you at Olam Haba, avol shemakshim, le'shev b'shalva, you want to live in peace here, it's not going to work. Ksimari by Yeshev is to be static. And this is the Rambam. In the Mor Nevuchim, when he talks about the various metaphors, they're talking about Hashem. Hashem is Yoshev. And the primary meaning of the Hebrew word Yashav is to be seated. Literally, the term is applied to everything that is permanent, unchanging. Applied to God, the verb is to be taken in that sense. Like it says in Echa, Atah Hashem Le'olam Teshev, or when it says in Tehillim, HaYoshvi B'Shamayim. Right, God is everlasting, constant, in no way subject to change. But human beings aren't like that. Kasil just wants, Kasil means I don't want to change. I'm happy with the way things are. I got what I want. I'm done. And this is the way the Malbim puts it about the Kasil. Kasil So Kasil is not the is someone who knows the ethical rules, knows what Chochmah is. We've used the word phronesis, or ethical wisdom for that. Yeah. That's what Chachma in Mishlei refers to. Knows what's right or wrong. But he doesn't, but he scorns it because of what he wants, his own personal, his desires, his tava. Across all these ethical rules, all this Musar is against everything that he wants in his heart. So it's worse than a cynic. So let's in a sonedat that the cynic doesn't necessarily hate that. Chochma. It makes fun of it lets someone who makes fun of things he doesn't understand. The Ksil is one who's not foolish, not stupid. He knows what knows what's right or wrong, but insists on I'm going to ignore it. Some may know what is right. He'll scorn it. He'll ignore it. They still hate knowledge. That's the beginning of what we just quoted. Because the Dat Chochma, the idea of ethics as a whole, basically puts a bit in the mouth, keeps it under control, keeps on personal desires under control. Right? The Kesilim hate Chochma because it's too much work. And the word Kesil, in fact, even though it's usually word used, it comes from the sense of a fool, it's connected to the word Kesil, which means feeling secure. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that the tzaddikim are yes ve'yasimu be'elokim kislam. That they place their kesil, their kesel, their security in Hashem. Or early Mishlei, it says ki Hashem yeh b'kislecha that you place your kesel, your kesil, your security, your selfish, your assurance in Hashem, rely on Hashem, then Hashem will keep your legs, your feet from being trapped. So kesil here is the self-confidence. It's not for Yasimu Bel Kim Kislam, but Yasimu Batsmam Kislam. They rely on themselves. They're sure that they've got it all right here. There's no reason to change. Sounds like a good thing, but it's destructive here. You're saying, I know what to do, so it must be the right thing to do, and any implication to the contrary is simply wrong. That's very like Morris did. And it's a wonderful book on Mishle, commentary on Mishle, but only goes chapters 1 through 5. So I'm waiting for him to put the rest of it out. But he's not fast enough, so I gotta make this up on my own. Because of the Kesil is what he calls a passion fool. Even though he's intelligent and begins to understand wisdom, he's driven by desire. The fool who knowingly blinds himself to pursue his passions becomes totally lost. And have you seen this meme before?
No.
That's the Kesil, right? Dog, house is on fire, and says, this is fine. That's the problem. So the problem with the Avil there, we call it crazy, where you know the right thing, you want to do the right thing, but you just can't overcome your, you don't have the self-control, the willpower. The problem with the Kesil is the willful ignorance. So Shlomo says here, Lo nava le Kesil kan. It's not good for this fool to be comfortable, to have luxuries, because the point of the Tano is like the Shalva, it's the purpose is to use it to grow. Right, got good things, use it to become a better person. And this is the Mishnah Torah. This is Teshuvah, which is appropriate this time of year. That nimsa perish kol otan brachot, that when you see all these brachot in the Torah, you do the right thing, Hashem's going to reward you with crops, with wealth. The reason is, klomar, meaning im avaratamet Hashem b'simcha ushmartem darcho, that if you serve Hashem joyfully, you keep His ways. Hashem will pour up all these brachot on you, and will take away all the curses that are mentioned. So you'll have the opportunity, you'll be free to learn Torah, lasokva, and to do the mitzvah. Not to wallow in these luxuries, but to say, okay, I don't have to stress about working. I can now learn. And that the ultimate reward again is Yaakov Shalva ends up being should always be striving, always be moving. And you'll end up in the final in the Olam Haba, in the world that is all long. So that's what he says here, that the seal has their priorities wrong. They want the stuff, not really the stuff is supposed to be a tool. So he says, "Af ki le'evin mishol b'sarim," it's like having a slave ruling over the princes. You're putting it, your priorities in the wrong place. And so, with that, this idea that a slave ruling over those who should be ruling, someone switches metaphors to the king. And we'll have this pasuk here of Naham kefir za'af melech. That the anger of a king is like roaring of a lion, which is about the anger here, because the previous pasuk is about that it's wise, sechadam, hariachapo, it's wise to be patient. Don't get angry. Shvatoa b'ral pesha, Let your glory is to ignore slights, don't get upset. And we talked about this metaphor of the Melech as being the one ruler, the conscious self that's supposed to keep all everything else under control. The Gra puts it. The Melech hu shekulum yitu shechem achad la'adot. And the idea of the Melech, a king, is someone that everyone else works for. And they give him the ability to rule. So the king basically represents the entire people. And they all accept the Melech. That's the ideal state. And that's the ideal state of your mind. We talked about the idea of consciousness, right? Consciousness only comes about when you have a mind that's actually made up of thousands of individual modules that are barely in speaking terms. In that condition, evolution's best move to create a whole nother layer that monitors all the shouting and determines the best routes to sex and food. That's evolutionary speaking, but in general, right? We have all these pieces, right? This family, this what do you call it? Family si systems.
Internal family systems theory.
Yeah, there. Everyone's in there arguing, yelling at each other. So the Melech is, yeah, there should be one self over there that's keeping it all control, and everyone's working together. Which is why you should be Marich, Arich, Harichapo. That's Seichel. And the Za'af Melech, the angry king, is the ultimate form of losing control. Getting upset is like the Eved Moshe B'Sarim. All of a sudden you've got this. One of the supposed servants in there are now ruling over everybody else. Misha Moshe B'Kaso, you can rule over your anger. Ain't no can don't try to get revenge when you're upset. I see it tone to yourself down, kedat malasot, and you can think about what the appropriate thing to do is. That's where true understanding, that's where you know you're wise at that point. Someone who's short-tempered will never stop and think. Because they're going to grab the first thing that comes to mind, anything that appears to you. And you're not going to stop and think, oh, okay, right. What are the other options? What can I do? What are the plus and minuses or everything? Throw me aside, cheat start, machshato, see if there's anything that might contradict your first impression. You get with some real plan. You can't do that if you're getting upset. You can't stand it. And that happened only to someone who is internally set up, right? You have to be, the yeshuv is good in turning your mind in terms of all these modules barely on speaking terms, getting them all working together. That's what means to be Erech HaPayim. Patient. And so this seal here, the one who doesn't try to learn, just as willing as says, whatever I do is the right thing. That's the angry, that's in this metaphor is the angry Melech, king of furies. Loses control, and now you end up with the Eved Moshe B'Sarim. You have the slaves ruling over everyone else, and the person who can stay in control is the one who's truly a human. You want to be a human being? You've got to be in control of yourself. Now it's from Rav Volbe and Ali Shor. Adam shu b'dato shleima. Someone who has really has all of his knowledge, all of his mind is all working together. Ainly bo'an, so and isn't forced to do something by his own feelings. Latzmo is transparent to himself. You understand yourself. And is true to the outside world, meaning you can think about the evidence, you can react appropriately to things that are happening. Such a transparent person, someone understands themselves. You can see all these various forces within you working together. Remote Yitro and can elevate himself on over his base nature. The Gavoha, and even when you're in a superior place, you're in a good place. It's to alula to opus to close the echarim. You won't become too haughty and make mistakes in what you're thinking and harm other people as well. Daka dat nakifa zot, and only this all-encompassing knowledge like this. Being aware of all these various things that are going on in your head and being able to keep them all controlled, balancing them together. Shkula. This allows for a balanced life. Him to help the higher powers of Zihirut, and to beware of the lower ones, these forces that are pushing you in the wrong direction. You can make good decisions. And so Shlomo here calls this the angry, the losing control part of this melech here, this king here, is naham kefir, roaring like a lion. There are two words for roaring in Hebrew, shoeg and nohem. Malbim says that the nohem is an expression of frustration. As you translate nohem kefir, roars like a lion. Nohem ba'aryeh, and this Nohem specifically in a lion, who bezafato be'et she'en lo teref. The lion's anger when he has no prey. That's different from the sho'eg, which is the roaring issue, bezimchato be'et lo teref, and that's when the lion is sho'eg, when it has prey. When it's frustrated, when it doesn't, that's the Nohem. It brings example from Yeshaya when it's talking about the enemy that's going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, going to exile the Jewish people. Says that this enemy is Shago lo Klavi. He roars like a lion, Shoeg, Yeshag Kfirim, roars like a lion, Vinahem, and then he will Vinahem. He'll has Teref, and they grab more prey. Yaflit, they will run, but they will be no saved. But this says Nohem. That the Nohem expression is one of bitterness. When he has no prey, he has no food. This example is when he's going to keep doing that even when he finds a prey, meaning that he's going to roar when he gets his prey and he's going to keep looking for him. He's not going to be satisfied. Even when he overcomes the enemy, when they conquer Israel, I'm sure he won't be satisfied, he'll keep destroying. And so here, it's Nahem, such a person who can't keep control, is losing control, is getting upset, will be frustrated, will never get anything they want. And the opposite is Ketal al, being calm, being a state of Ratzon, is like dew on the grass. Gently sustains it. And that's a metaphor for Moshe in Parshat Hazino, excuse me, in that's Yashia rather. He says, Yarov kamatar lichi, may my teaching rain down like rain, tizal katal imrati, and my words flow like dew. And as the Emek says, by tizal katal, the nature of dew is it moistens everything, but doesn't actually fall, doesn't cause any damage. You don't even notice it there. Katanot, this little gentle flowing. Katal. It aims and spreads like dew. Avoid the imrati zakot, and its way of talking to people that's gentle. Moshe is saying katal devarim kalim. But Torah, Mubanim, Gamlamon, things that everyone can understand, Bishlobiya, won't cause stress. That's the way to talk to people. That interactions with
Do you
others
have
has
that from the Emek Devar?
that is the right, it's Vodota Bracha.
But who was the Emek Devar?
Sorry, Emek Devar was the Netziv, not
The
solely
what?
not the Netziv. But not
Oh.
solely Berlin, but Rosh Yeshiva in
Wow. Okay.
Volozhin. Excuse me, my voice. So that if you're calm, in control, then your words are like Tao. The opposite is Videlef Toreid, the insistent, constant dripping, drip, 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 drip. Waterboarding, torture. So Shlomo spends the rest of the, I mean, Shlomo does a lot of mixed metaphors, right? We have the king, Kisil, the servant, the foolish son, Havot ben Kisil. Now it's the, this Kisil upsets his father. And then we end the Delav Toreid Midianei Isha. Now we have the Isha here, again, as the metaphor for the self as a whole, the quarrelsome one, the Midianei is when it quarrels, that's the one where the, your mind can't get it together. And that's like the doves, right? That's the constant dripping, torture. It's not the tal is about the dew on the grass. I think that's not a statement about what women are like, but the way, at least his mind, that's what he thinks about this. He shows someone who's like, as a companion, but it means like yourself. Don't be the quarrelsome one. Try to be the Isha Muscat, the sensible woman. Right? All these various parts of you are all working together. Be consistent. And he
So
ends it.
psychologically minded, I just have to say.
That's why I'm interpreting this here. That, you know, it's like, how do you get to be an ethical person? The answer is, well, I need to understand you. So a lot of what I know about consciousness comes from Zachariah Smith, who's a cartoonist who does all these here. Of course, obviously, the way you learn best is through cartoons. There's a lot of questions about what consciousness is and where does it come from, right? We got all these parts here. So we got to put it together. What we're doing is metaphors here. And he ends with a metaphor of bayit v'hon nachalat avot, that property, wealth. We translate hon not just as physical wealth, money, but also social intelligence, the idea, you know, your natural gifts, the ability to get along with other people. That's nachalat avot. That's an inheritance that you don't have to ask for, that you get. But me Hashem isham maskelet. Yeah, the Isha Maskelet, that's a gift from God. And this was a comment from the Imre Dat, which was a 13th century commentary on Mishlei. That ki ha-mamon v'karka, wealth, property, yachol adam and hanchil levanav. You can give that on to your children. That can be an inheritance. Mezeg ha-tov, that's the way he translates the Isha Maskelet, is the mezeg ha-tov. This even temperament. And the pleasant and a pleasant nature, that's Me Hashem. And I would translate not so much as being a gift from God, but it comes from Hashem. You have to appreciate it is through the rules that Hashem gives us. Book two of Mishlei is a much more religious one than book one. We deal specifically that about with the idea of mitzvot, with the idea of a tzaddik. And that's what he'll say, that if you want to get to this kind of self-control, as Mishlei is telling you, you got to look at the Torah. You got to look at that gift of God's Me Hashem. Yirmiyahu says the same thing. He says, Kim zot yitalel talel. What should you be proud of? Haskel, be smart, be yado, ti, and know God. You know me. That's the way to do chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah. And so the Gemara says about this, Me Hashem Isha Maskelet, that is Isha Maskelet, this even temperament, this Mezek Hatov, that the Imre Dat says, is from Hashem. It's not really in your control to be that way. This is, but it, we need it. We need to be even-minded. That's the Derech HaChaim. The Mislat Yesharim, the path of the just. The Ra, Fear Hashem, Ba'avah, Penimut, and for awe of God, love of God internally, Humitat Elokim, and that's a gift of God. Elok Shadam Oseh Shalom, but the idea is that when people do their job, when you make the effort, as Hashem lo yimna tov v'lecham b'tamim, Hashem will help you get the rest of the way. We'll help you get to that point. You have to try. Shu tamim b'chol, and that Hashem is perfect in all ways. We yasher chotav, and Hashem will guide our paths. So you got to try, maintain your equanimity, Avoid the Isha Midanim, the quarrelsome woman. This metaphor, be the calm Melech. Keep it calm, keep your Isha under control, and Hashem will do the rest. Keep us on the right path. And I will stop here.
That's a very controversial way to stop.
I'm sorry?
It's controversial to stop here because be calm, Melech, keep the Isha under control. And then it has things where the Isha is like your true self. And
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a metaphor. It's not talking about, it's not advice to husbands to keep their women under control. Okay? It's you keeping yourself under control
your
and
soul.
different aspects of you.
He could have used a better metaphor, but that's okay.
That's Shlomo. I mean, what did Shlomo think about
Women,
women? Yeah.
horses.
I guess we could have, I guess it would be better
Got
if you talk about that.
too many wives.
So right. So when you say metaphorically hold your horse, is that what he should have gotten with that one? That would have worked. We could have done that. Okay. So I will
But
allow
in
you to.
his time period, it probably was very common to think of women that way. So
Oh,
it's anachronistic for me to go, and say not to speak that way.
feel free to rewrite all these lessons in terms of horses and, I mean, right, the metaphor works either way. But I'm going to stop here.
Danny.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
Have a good night.
Lila Tov.